Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I am grateful for the church. I'm grateful for Christianity,
you know, yes,
which just means Christ followers, and that you know, you as a Christian, if you're a Christian, you're impacting the world. The greatest harvest the world's ever seen is coming in right now across the world. It might not be happening in your neighborhood, but the world is responding to Christ in a very powerful way. I really believe what's taking place in North Korea right now. We had two individuals that escaped from North Korea across the lines to South Korea. And that's a death wish. He was shot a couple times, but they dragged him in and took care of him. But he had parasites all over his body,
it's parasites, because they actually use human feces for the agriculture, even though it births all these worms and all these they don't have anything there.
And so many stories like that. And we had a program about what's really going on to the Christians. It used to be called the Eastern Jerusalem. It was called the Eastern Jerusalem,
yeah.
But Jesus said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you've done to me." And when people are being treated harshly and badly, you know, God hears their cries. And I'm really believing that. I'm grateful that the whole world is now paying attention and dealing with, you know, focusing on freeing the people from a tyrannical dictator. That's their people are just suffering. The women are suffering. The men are suffering. But what happens is they push Christianity out of North Korea, and they suppress Christianity in North Korea. And if you become a Christian, the reports are they take you and four or five generations of your family and send you to a labor camp.
Evil.
Well, look what happens when you push Christianity out. Christianity has done some powerful things. As a matter of fact, Impact 360, the Barner Group, talked about it and put something together. Let's take a look at what Christianity has done for education. Education wasn't always like it is today. As a matter of fact, it's Christianity that began to change education as we know it. Take a look.
Jesus was a teacher and instructed his followers to teach. So Christians developed schools and later monasteries, laying the groundwork for modern education. Christians founded 106 of the first 108 universities in the U.S. Ideas like tax-supported public schools, kindergarten, grade levels, secondary schools, modern colleges and universities, education for the deaf and the blind, literacy for the masses, and universal education that reaches beyond class, gender, and ethnicity all have one thing in common. They are all products of Christianity.
That's so powerful when you're seeing, my goodness, if it wasn't for Christianity, how education has been impacted.
Amazing.
And you think about that, not only education, I mean, all spheres of culture has been impacted. Government, when you think about how government's set up, I don't think we have that for you for some reason, that particular one. But the way that government is thought, the freedom of people being free, you can only be free because of God and that kind of free representative government. Each man counts. But I want you to look at this, because women's rights, it wasn't until the suffrage movement in America that the women began to even get a place in our culture. But it was Christianity that actually brought women into the place of life and having a say-so where they count individually. So for somebody to push out Christianity, it's like it was God that brought you to this place. As a matter of fact, let's go see what Christianity, what kind of impact it had on women in the world and in America.
The world that Jesus was born into considered women socially and intellectually inferior. They were not permitted the same rights, privileges, and freedoms that men enjoyed. And in Jewish culture, women were not permitted to speak in public, especially in the presence of a man, which also meant she couldn't testify in a court of law. But the way Jesus treated women was revolutionary. Not only did he stand against the anti-female culture of his day, he also set a new standard of kindness, compassion, and respect. As a result, the early church included women, honored women, supported widows, and gave women a freedom and dignity previously unknown in any culture. In India, where widows were burned on their husbands' funeral pyres, it was the Christians who were largely responsible for getting this practice banned. In China, young girls were intentionally crippled by binding their feet. Again, it was the influence of the Christians that led the Chinese government to outlaw this practice. It's no exaggeration to say the birth of Jesus was the turning point in the history of woman.
That's so powerful. You look at Jesus. We just look at from our perspective and we look at what Jesus is doing, but he was breaking all cultural barriers, and he was coming against the laws of the land when he's going like, leave her be, let her touch me. Who touched the hem of my garment? And it was illegal for her to actually come in her place that what was going on at that time. Right. And it didn't bother him a bit.
Mm-mm.
You know, when the lady shows up about her child needing healing, or when Mary comes in and anoints his feet with the alabaster box in front of all these men. Well, those men were being critical in their mindsets because that was the culture of the time. But God doesn't have those mindsets towards women.
Well, look at the stark contrast of what's happening right now in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
When Saudi Arabia, women are now we're going to allow you to have a driver's license.
Yes, they just allowed women to drive. That's the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think about it.
Yeah.
In Christianity, every time the gospel goes into another nation, everybody gets freed up.
Well, of course, Saudi Arabia is Islamic.
Sure.
You know, and so the religion of Islam has produced oppression in its heaviest forms and what it says in those nations.
Which I don't understand why political figures in America would want to support, you know, this type of mindset.
It's hard to say that
in other countries.
If you're for women, when you're for supporting women, but yet you go to that particular nation who oppresses women and who says you can't even be on an elevator unless a man is with you, that your testimony is only worth like a fifth or something like that. You have to have four or five folks to get your testimony. And we see Jesus just walks right up in the midst of all those mindsets, and he says, what can I do for you?
Mm.
And just begin to, when you read the Word of God, I want you to begin to think about how, understanding how the culture was, that's how it was, but how God broke out on the scene and he saw there's no male, nor female, nor slave, nor free. We're all the same, which means there's some of you that are women that mindsets have held you back. We need your help, you know? And there's some men that have had those mindsets that you don't realize that you're one that could be helping you. You're oppressing the one that
could
be helping you.
That's right.
And God's called us to be free. And truly, freedom means that the person's free to leave you. And some people control because they're scared that somebody's going to leave them. Mm. And the reality is, when people are free and they don't leave you, then you know they love you. And God didn't leave us. He set us free. You know, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Whether you're male or female or slave or non-slave, you know, whatever you're getting paid in your paycheck. And so it's just so encouraging to realize, you know, and it's reportedly this is the year that God's really going to raise the woman up in such a way to be able to be used like the man in a big way. And listen, we only have so many days left. Things are coming to a rapid, shift. And all hands on deck.
We want everyone involved,
everybody
in the harvest.
When the harvest is going, nobody should be sitting on the porch. Yeah. Everybody needs to get busy in the harvest. But we're talking about gratitude today.
Yes.
And one thing is about being grateful for Jesus Christ and for the Christians that followed him. When we begin to follow him, he empowered us through his word and his spirit to impact culture. I mean, look what Christianity's done for women's rights and for education, and we're going to be talking in the future in science and so many things, government. In just a moment, we'll be talking about that. But it's, you know, when you're looking at oppressive governments like North Korea, for example, or you're looking at Saudi Arabia that's going through a very oppression on the young people and on the whole culture, but definitely on the women, and throughout the Middle East quite often. As a matter of fact, Israel is the hope.
The lone democracy in the Middle
East.
The
lone democracy. And you can just look at the contrast between the two. But that's because Judeo-Christian values, you know, principles, God. When God's involved, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He does not want you oppressed. You know, Americans sometimes feel oppression is because they have to go to work. But other countries are like, I would go to work for free if they would let me go to work.
Yeah. Well, look at China. Yeah. All these communist countries, Cuba, they try to get rid of the gospel because it allows people to be free and free thinkers and to be, you know, connected to God, who wants them to flourish and prosper and do well.
I just heard Lance Wando talk about the president of China. He said this particular president, now Xi, right, is the as oppressive, has as many powers as Mao had.
Really?
There hasn't been any president of China that's had these kind of powers since Mao.
Little Red Book, Mao, you know.
That's what's going on right now.
Wow.
And so he even talked specifically about how they're positioning themselves to take over the global economy, which lines up with the prophetic dream that we talked about, where Russia, China, and some other country, probably North Korea, they're working on shifting the economy, where all of a sudden that we would have to turn our money into their currency to buy oil.
Well, that wouldn't make sense, as they own a lot of America's debt.
Well, overnight, if that happened, if the world trade currency went from the dollar to the currency of China, that would actually put us in a third world stance instantly. Because we have to take like thousands of our dollars to be able to convert to their money to be able to buy oil for our car and that type of thing. That's why you see this big solar push. Nobody controls the sun, right? Hmm. And so it's a very... It needs Christianity. This is what they said. This is what I was talking about. Why I brought that up is they began to persecute Christians there. They're still persecuting Christians there. They're tearing all the crosses off the churches. They're bulldozing over houses. China owns most of the property there. So, but yet it's the harvest of souls is powerful. People coming to the Lord. I think the greatest part of our church is actually in
over
China.
Over 100 million Christians. Yes. Underground Christians.
There's like 32,000 a month getting saved. Something that, so it's a huge revival going on. The great persecution is happening at the same time. But that is a communist government.
Yeah.
Well, look what Christianity's done for government. When Christianity, why they're trying to snuff out Christianity in China, because it competes against their evil government, the evil government of communism and socialism. But the freedom, it comes with capitalism and it comes with Christianity. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Look, because so you heard what's happening in China. You see that they're not even letting them have more than two children. It used to be one. They won't even allow you to have any more than that. One particular professor, the founder of one particular company people know about, that he got paid $10 a month to teach at the university. Basically, the currency is $10 a month. And so this is what Christianity does to governments. And that's why foreign dictators and all are scared of Christianity. Because
like Putin,
because when the people get free, the country gets free too. Check it out.
The freedom and opportunity enjoyed in the U.S. and other democracies is built on ideas furnished by the Judeo-Christian worldview. The belief in free will opposes tyranny and leads to a representative government. The understanding that man is sinful underscores the need for checks and balances and three branches of government. The idea of being governed by the rule of law rather than the authority of man flows from the Ten Commandments. Other Christian concepts like the dignity of labor, the existence of moral absolutes, fair trials with witnesses, and the importance of civil liberty are also crucial to our form of government and so easily taken for granted.
Powerful. Is that not powerful? You think about that, and you're looking at the oppressive government of other countries, and that's why, you know, the Lord, you can change a nation by focusing like we do, like VFN Kingdom Business. It's all about, you know, impacting a society, discipling a nation by becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and going back into your mountain, whether it's government, whether it's science, whether it's education, whether it's family. We're talking about how in the future programs, how, you know, the Christianity impacted children. I mean, children were literally just there but not heard for years. And what people call child abuse today was standard practices, you know, back then. And if they let you live, they even had, you know, if you were, and this is happening in China today and other countries, if you have a daughter, they would actually let their daughter just die because the son would be the one that takes care of the family and guts up the lineage. And that's what they're doing in China, because of the fact is that a son will actually take care of the family and keep the name going.
Keep the name.
And it's like women under a non-Christian government are hugely oppressed. And
you don't have to look any past Saudi Arabia to see that. I mean, we talked about it in our program.
Yeah, for that alone, you probably want to be able to say, you know, I want Christianity in my nation.
Yeah.
You know, I want the Lord to rule in my life. And when you start, it's real interesting too, when I see people, like you're trying to give them a life preserver and they're drowning and they're pushing their life preserver away. When you push Christianity away, I mean, authentic, loving, kind, merciful, forgiving God, not religion, but just a loving God who wants to forgive you and bring you in a relationship with him, that his thoughts are good towards you. He's not angry. That when the society begins to feed people a narrative that, you know, you don't push that raft away. It's like, but you're going to drown. You're
that's
the
right
one drowning. You know, if it goes back to a tyrannical government, you know, America's an experiment.
Well, that's why these socialistic governments are horrible, because it puts this government in the place of God. It keeps people dependent upon God.
Yeah.
And you look at what's happening with Venezuela, they're starving. They're starving. And now there's reports there's revival happening there and people are coming to the Lord. But that happened in Venezuela, it's happened in Cuba and not other, you know, countries like this.
But, you know, what's happened to us recently is that somebody wrote to us, and maybe you're watching us right now from Venezuela. We are praying for you in Venezuela. We believe that God hears your cries and that God's going to restore your nation. We are believing that. And you're not alone. Don't be focusing on that, what's happening, thinking that's all that there is. Because even our president's responding to the leaders who took over there that are oppressing you. I mean, they're talking about rape that's taking place, by robberies. They would go into stores and close the doors. This is socialism.
Yeah.
Closed, and it crashed because it works. At the beginning, it's great because at first you're just living off of OPM, other people's money. And then when that runs out, then all of a sudden,
we're in trouble.
You got to work. And so they said that they go into the stores, they would close the doors and rob everybody in there. They come on a bus. This is what's happening. The whole nation's crumbling in on itself. And now only people with guns are the bad guys.
Wow.
When somebody wants you to give up the Second Amendment in America for socialism, that's what happens. The only people who have the guns are the ones that are oppressing you. And so they said they're coming onto buses and just at gunpoint saying, listen, I need a cup of coffee. And everybody in there has to cough up the change or the money, the dollars. If they don't, then they arrest them. They call this on their phone. You can arrest them. If you talk bad about the government, they put you in jail for 20 years.
One man said, what I used to feed my dog for dinner is what I eat now.
Right.
Think about it. I mean, their food is so scarce.
Yeah, and so I want to encourage you, pray for Venezuela. The people of Venezuela are good. The government has oppressed them. Chavez died. You know, somebody else took over.
Maduro.
Yeah, worse. And it's just been, you know, when somebody says socialism, we need socialism in America, look at what happens every single time with socialism and communism. That's always what takes place. And what my concern with, as China, when we're talking about China, is they know that the free enterprise that they've allowed to leak into their country is going to overtake them. So now they're oppressing the church, tearing down the steeples, trying to put the church in its place. But with 32,000 plus people getting saved a month, they're not going to be able to stop it. So what happens? They give the president now, right now, the current president, Xi, right, give him as much power as Mao had, reportedly. That's what Lance Waldner just said. And so is he going to do what Mao did? And what Mao did, he killed millions and millions, reportedly, of his own people to be able to push in his form of government. Some people in America, they said that was actually their values, that they value Mao's words as one of their mentors, but one of the people
I think we had a vice president, Al Gore, who said that allegedly this is one of his favorite books was a Little Red Book.
Crazy, is that not right? So Christianity, so you see how it impacts. As a matter of fact, they start talking about, you know, no tolerance. Are you tolerant or are you not tolerant? And they start telling people, you can tolerate anything but Christianity. Why? Because, we're not going to be able to get to that. Oh, make sure you join us in our future program because we're going to talk about this. Because there's tolerance for everything but Christianity. Tolerance for everything but Christians and Jews. What does that really mean? Tolerance for everyone and everything other than God.
Mm.
And because tolerance means tolerance, right?
That's right.
And if you're asking me to tolerate you, then intolerance is the key word. The question is, well, if I tolerate your beliefs and I say, okay, you can believe whatever you want to believe, can I believe whatever I want to believe? No, you cannot believe.
Bring up Jesus. Anything but Jesus.
Jesus, America, the Bible, Israel, the our brothers, the Jews in Israel.
The Constitution,
original intent, the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, and there's zero, and it's interesting. The devil always tells on himself because what he fears the most, he tries to project on you.
Yeah.
You know, and make you think, you know, and when you start hearing somebody tell you, quit talking about the word of God in this household, that's when you start talking about more because they're finding out that that's impacting your household, impacting your business, impacting your community. So understand these oppressive governments. The key to it is us who are Christians, who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, saying, God, here I am, send me. It's not going to change because of a new president. It's not going to change because of a new government. It's going to change because people carry the gospel in. And all of a sudden, there is actually one prophetic word over Kim.
Clement?
Yeah, no, Kim Kim Jong-un over North Korea.
Yes.
That he would give his life to the Lord and he would turn.
That is the prophetic word. There was a dream there.
Yeah, and that would be great if that's going to be an accurate prophetic word. And that would shift that whole country if that one leader gave his heart to the Lord. He's so young, and he's being probably controlled by a lot of factors other than probably demonic factors.
The prophetic word that would be that he would come to such a place of repentance that he would apologize to the world for terrorizing and all the threat that he's been doing.
Lord, may that be here. We're so grateful. I want to encourage you to have an attitude of gratitude.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.